How often do you find yourself really stressing out before an interview? Or maybe it's a meeting. Maybe it's a podcast interview. Maybe you're about to go on air. Whatever it is, you don't always feel equipped and prepared before stepping into that room. That's exactly what Heather Sumlin is talking about on the podcast today. I connected with Heather Sumlin when I was preparing for Miss California USA back in 2020. So she and I started working together in 2019. It's been 5 years and 5 wonderful years together. She has quickly become one of the most valuable influences in my adult life. Not only just my personal life and my competitive life, but my professional life as well. She always gives me such specific, tangible tips to walk away with that I can implement in my day to day. I'm not kidding. I definitely still use them every single day. She specializes in self-image training, goal setting, interview preparation, and most competitive outlets. But like I said, a lot of what she says, you can also implement into your own day-to-day life. Her clients have won world championships, national and state level competitions, and received international awards. On top of her individual training sessions, she hosts in-depth seminars, and she recently just released her podcast, She Wins, Stories and Solutions for Women. I'm so honored to have Heather on the podcast today. She is a dear friend, and truly, I think the outcome of my life would be so different had I not been connected to her. If you want to take control of your life, feel more confident about your interview, and more confident about speaking and what you bring to the table overall, this is the episode for you. You're listening to Misunderstood Podcast, where we are setting the record straight on all things misunderstood. I'm your host, Kelly Hall Sabraki, pageant runner-up, model, speaker, wife, and U.S. Navy lieutenant. I may have never won a Miss USA title, but I am the queen of being misunderstood. Welcome to the show, guys. What's up, world? This is your host, Kelly Sabraki, and we are here season 5, which is remarkable because I have a special guest on the show today, Heather Sumlin, who actually helped pick the name Misunderstood Podcast and is now here with me 5 seasons later. You've been here since the start. You're back for season 5. Heather, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. I often remember that conversation. And it's like, you know, you're just so misunderstood. I love it.
And here we are. You're right. You really did change, I think, the course of my life when needed in 2020 with so many of your mindset tools and your tangible tips on really just how to approach life. As a mental management coach, I think those were such valuable, essential qualities for me as a woman, as a leader, as a naval officer, and as this multi-passionate person. You know, and one of those being, you know, my podcast. You encouraged me to have this podcast. And that's why I think this is the 4th or 5th time I've had you on Misunderstood.
Yeah, we could write a book with all the conversations we've had.
I know. And not even to mention all of my one-on-one sessions with you.
Oh my, yes.
Actually dozens of them.
And they continue.
And they still continue. But one thing that I have been begging to get you on the show to talk about is interview. And I think, I mean, you are essential to any pageant competitor's team of coaches. You're part of their toolkit because you have to crush the interview 1,000% if you want to win. But you also need the tools prior to walking into that interview and also leaving that interview, which is what you provide. And if you're not a pageant competitor, this is still for you because you use interview tools and tips every single day in confidence. So I'll start right there, Heather. What would you say is most misunderstood about either prepping for an interview or executing an interview?
I think that you have to put on a different persona. I think a lot of times people think that they have to have like an interview hat on before they walk in the interview room or they get into interview mode. And in most cases, that's not necessary. And maybe you have to be a more professional or polished version of you, but you don't have to be different than you. Because if they're going to hire somebody, they're going to hire you. You don't want to have to fake who you are in an interview because they may or may not go for that. And then you'll always wonder, well, would I have gotten it if I would have been myself? So I think not feeling like you have to be someone that you just aren't capable of being in that interview setting is important. And I think that's misunderstood, especially in pageantry, because people, and it's so funny. I'll be on a call with somebody and I'm like, okay, well, so now we're going to interview. I'm going to set my timer. And then all of a sudden they're different. I'm like, oh, girl. And it happens in the beginning, like when I first start working with somebody, and then I'll say something like, okay, so do me a favor and pretend like I am quite literally your best friend. I realize I'm like 49 years old and we're not like best buddies, but I want you to pretend like I'm like 18, 16, whatever age they are. And we're hanging out, we're like hanging out in your room, and I'm just asking you a question. You're just going to give me an answer because I want the real person, not an elevated extra version. I don't want that, especially not in the beginning of prep. I want to know who you really are. So then we can see what are we working with. So I think the fact that you actually don't have to be somebody different.
I love that. You can be a little more polished maybe, but you don't need to be someone different.
Absolutely.
You called me out on this, which this was so true. When we first started working together in 2019 and I was prepping for Miss California USA, we did like a mock interview pretty early on. And you're like, tell me about yourself. And I didn't notice I switch into like Navy Lieutenant brief mode, you know, and this is for any sort of leader, even in corporate America or whatever. Like when you're giving a brief to like a boardroom or a room of people, like you're on it, you're prepping stats and data and you're going through a PowerPoint and I have my hands crossed in front of me and your body language is different. And you're like, you're not giving a brief in the Navy. Like you're trying to be Miss California. You're like, you're so bubbly and outspoken and goofy. And you're like, you're very quirky. Like I'm not getting any of that from your interview. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. I haven't done that for 3 years. I'd been competing and I was always turning into Navy Lieutenant Kelly in my interview and not quirky, bubbly, normal Kelly that I always am, you know, which is crazy. So yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think that's a great place to start. But circling back to, you said before we started recording the prep, sometimes the pre-interview prep is just as important for the actual, than like executing the actual interview. What kind of recommendations or tips do you have for women who are going into an interview?
So oftentimes, especially if you haven't interviewed in a long time, so let's say you're going for a job, it's been a while since you've interviewed for a job, and you're nervous because you really want to, you want to get the position, you want to impress the people in the room. So pageants the same way, you know, you want to impress the people, you have one shot, you know, it's important. And so then there's all that added pressure that you put on yourself. So the goal is to use nerves to your advantage instead of let them overpower you. And so a couple really quick things is, number one, like really internalize what you're feeling as positive instead of negative. You have a choice to make in life. You can choose to view your environment and what you feel as a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, everything that's presented to you, you can choose to view it as positive or negative for you. And I think that's a decision that you make. Not everything or every feeling is negative just because it's uncomfortable.
I like that.
And I think when your body is giving you some added energy because you're about to go do something that matters to you, that doesn't mean you're going to do poorly. It just means your body's releasing some adrenaline so that you can go do well. So I think a lot of times it's the perspective shift of, let's not let my feelings dictate my attitude. And let's allow myself to feel positive and encouraged before I walk into a room instead of worried about how I feel, because that isn't actually going to aid you well. So there's some things that I teach whenever I'm working with clients to help them kind of calm those nerves or control those nerves or control the thoughts. But the main thing that I would say that's the biggest help is to invite the feelings in, don't fight them away.
Invite the feelings and don't fight them away. I like that.
Yeah.
Invite them, don't fight them. Invite them, don't fight them. I love that because I remember when we were working together before Miss California, you gave me similar tips. And I remember so vividly like being in the little row of chairs waiting for my interview for Miss California. And I was so calm. And like, normally I'm like a lot more anxious and a lot more nervous, but I was so calm because I just kept telling myself, like, yeah, I had nerves. Like, duh, of course I had nerves. I wanted to win Miss California, USA. But I kept telling myself, like, I get to interview for Miss California. Not like, oh, I have to do this interview. And like, this interview is going to be dependent on if I win or blah. Like, instead of telling myself all those things, like, oh, I hope I don't mess up. Like, what are they going to ask me? I was like, I get to interview for Miss California, USA. And I get to talk to them about all of the stuff I've been doing. Like, we were doing some stuff. Like, you know, I mean, we really crafted such a great, like, bio sheet and this plan, and I was executing it. I was so passionate about everything I was doing. So it's like, holy cow, I have, like, 1 minute. But I get to tell them about everything I'm doing. And so it kind of shifted from, like, nerves to, like, kind of like that horse excited to get out of the gate. I was like, all right, like, I'm ready. Like, let's freaking go. And you're right, just because you kind of sit there for a while at any interview. And so you have a lot of time with yourself during that time.
And it depends what's going to benefit you. You know, thoughts are either helpful or harmful. And if you can determine whether or not your thought is helpful, that it will grow you. So your self-image grows based on imprints. We talked about this before in a previous episode, but like your imprints dictate what happens with your self-image. It's either going to grow or it's going to shrink based on what you're thinking about. So if you're analyzing other people, if you're worried that you're not qualified, if you're concerned about, oh my gosh, I don't know who the judges are, and I'm walking into a room, or I'm meeting with the CEO of a company and I feel unqualified, or I have this imposter syndrome or whatever it is, well, then your self-image will not grow in that environment. But if you're having the attitude that you had, like, I get to do this, like, this is an opportunity for me. I'm so excited. I'm pumped. If you're build, that would build those type of imprints actually build self-image. And so you want to be doing that before you enter the room. And so I like the idea of I get to instead of I have to.
It's so fun. That's why you get addicted to the feeling when you're doing it right. I think that there is a right way to, and a healthy way to go about it. And unfortunately, you know, specifically with pageantry, I have witnessed a lot of women go down a road that's not healthy. And they are, instead of empowering themselves, they're comparing themselves. And so when you are implementing your tools and really formulating such a healthy mindset going into a competition or going into an interview, you start getting really excited about it, you know, and that's where you kind of get bit by the bug and you're like, ooh, I get to do this. Like, this is so fun. This is so exciting. Like, what else can I do?
Very true.
So one of the things that you mentioned is don't analyze the environment so much that you miss the opportunity to connect with someone or connect with your interviewer or connect with the topic. Elaborate a little bit more on that and how people can avoid doing that.
I'll take interviewing for a pageant as an example, because oftentimes what girls will do is they'll go and they'll do an interview in either a mock interview or a panel interview setting, whether it's for a real competition or even mocks. And what they'll say is, well, I could tell they didn't like me. I'm like, how? How could you tell? I could tell if they didn't like me because, you know, they're not making eye contact, or they're, you know, they don't have a really, you know, happy look on their face, or I don't feel it, right? I can't tell. I said, I promise you, you can't tell if they like you or not. Because what you've got to remember is that your judge's job, and this is whether, no matter what you're interviewing for, the people that you're interviewing with, their job is to analyze whether or not you're the one who's qualified enough to take the position, no matter what the level is. Well, in order to do that job well, they have to analyze you. If they're analyzing you, they're not at the same time going to make you feel comfortable.
Right.
We're not going to do both, most likely. And some people can because they just have a smile on their face all the time. They can't help it. But in most cases, people aren't wired that way. And so if I'm analyzing you and I'm on a judging panel and I am trying to determine whether or not you're the right person for this job, I have a list of criteria that I'm trying to match you with and make sure that you can do it. I'm trying to pay attention. So I'm very much engaged. I'm just not going to make you feel good. And so I remember many years ago, I was doing mock interviews at my office. I mean, this was probably 15 years ago. And one of the guys on the panel, he had been associated with the Texas organization at the time since he was a little kid. And he had been just doing so much with pageantry for years and years and years and years and years. And so he was on the panel and he told this girl, he says, "My job as a judge is not to make you feel comfortable. Your job is to make me feel comfortable." And I thought that is so important. And I think it's the case in a lot of settings, because the more comfortable you are, as far as just being in control, certain, confident, and empowered to be in that room, the more likely you're going to put the other people at ease. And then you're the one who's in charge of the energy, not everybody else. And especially in a pageant interview, when you're walking into a room, you're bringing the energy and you're keeping the energy going. But if you look like you don't want to be there, they're going to believe you.
Right. I'm just having this flashback of my pageant years. I feel like I've come in behind some tough candidates in the aspect of like, these women, bless their sweet souls, but I think they were just there to have a good time. Like, I don't think that they like actually wanted to be Miss Ohio USA or like Miss California USA. And I've never been a judge before, but I can imagine, you know, if your paperwork is not strong or say your resume is not strong, as a judge, that 90-second interview could feel like an eternity because you're trying to pull answers out of them and trying to make it interesting, but the girl's not giving them much. So I remember vividly, like one of my years at Miss Ohio, the girl before me came out and was like tearing up and she was like, "It went so bad. Like, they went through all my questions in like 5 seconds. And then they were just like, if you could be any kind of dog, like what would you be?" And she was like, I don't know. And I was thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's only 90 seconds. Like, how did they get through all 5 questions in 90 seconds? Like, that to me is interpreting you didn't give them that much to work off of in your answers. And so then I walk in and they all had stone cold faces. And I was like, all right. Because another girl had said, "This judging panel is so mean. Like, they all like look really, really mean. They don't smile." And I was like, okay, whatever. So I went in there and I was just like, "Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly. I'm Navy North Central." And started telling them my story. And they all slowly, it was almost like a dimming light bulb that lit up. They all like slowly came back to life. And it was like a good, again, you know, this is before I started working with you for California. But that was my initial instinct of like, you really kind of drive this conversation. You know, it's not on them to drive it. It's really on you to drive it. And then when I got to California, I kind of had the same experience with the women before me. They had like similar reactions about the panel. And they were like, oh, they didn't ask me anything that was really like fruitful. And then when I went in there, same thing. All the judges, not trying to brag, but I did have a really good interview. All the judges, they kind of like slowly like lit up and started smiling. I got through all of the topics that you and I had discussed that like I did not want to leave the room without telling them. And two of the judges was like, "Oh my gosh, it's already over. Oh, there's so much more I want to ask you."
Oh, that's such a good feeling.
And I walked out of that room being like, yes, like that's what you want. You want them to be like, oh no, like I want more, you know? So anyways, I was very proud of that. But yeah, I didn't let them kind of drive it, you know?
It's so true though. That's kind of what you want. Yeah. I think there's two qualities that probably in pretty much any interview that you want to make sure you're going for, and that's confidence and joy. If you're confident in yourself, in your capabilities, you have a really good idea of what you're going to do. Like, should you be given the opportunity to take the position, what are you going to do with it? You know, so confidence in your capabilities, in who you are as a person, but then also joy. I remember my brother Brian used to work in corporate America and he would interview all the time. And he told me once, he says, "You know, the number one quality I look for in a new hire." I'm like, "What's that?" And he says, "I want to know that they're happy already and that this job isn't going to be the thing that try to make them happy." He goes, I can't produce happiness. Like you either find that or you don't. And he goes, "But if they're genuinely joyful already, then I know they're going to do a good job because they're going to be happy to be wherever they are.
Oh, I love that.
Like, I need that because everybody else, I can teach them how to do the work. That's not the problem. I don't need them to have years and years of experience. I need them to be able to walk in the room and be in a mood, ready to learn, ready to grow, and ready to grow the business. I'm like, that's so key.
That's great.
And I really think that people are attracted to joy. If you think about it, like, what kind of people do you want to hang around? You want to hang around with people who are joyful, who make everything a little bit lighter. Now, they better be qualified, they better be skilled. And there may be some jobs where that's not important. But I think in a sales type of position, which is what he was hiring for, it's absolutely important.
Right. I've always loved this quote that people, they don't remember what you say, they remember how you made them feel. And I feel like as I move forward in my life, and especially like as a leader, sailors, I feel like most of what I say, it's like one ear out the other, like deadlines, they don't care, but they will circle back to me years later, which is the neatest thing. And they don't care at all about the tasks I gave them or deadlines or whatever. They're like, ma'am, oh, I loved working with you. You were so fun. You were so great. You listened. You cared, you know, those things. And so when it comes to interview, I feel like that's why, one, it was so great for me to work with you on paperwork, because just like a resume for pageantry, you have this one sheet of paper that has to capture you. That's it, like one sheet. And so because that's all judges have after they leave the interview. That and social media, which is an entirely different beast, but that's it. But they may not remember everything you had to say or everything that's on that piece of paper, but I think they're going to remember how you made them feel. And if you radiate that joy and that excitement, they're going to be like, oh, I want to be friends with her. I want to see her again. Like, and then they're almost going to be excited when they see you again on stage, or, you know, kind of bring that connection full circle.
It's interesting because there have been so many times when a girl will say, man, that one judge didn't like me. I didn't feel it from them or whatever. And then that's the judge that comes up to them afterwards and says, you were my favorite. I was like, okay, well, thanks for making me feel like I was your favorite. I mean, that's just the way that it goes, right? And so I just think it's interesting. We were talking earlier about how the environment shouldn't dictate your attitude. And I think it's not just in what are you receiving from the judges or from those who are interviewing you. It's also what's going on outside of the room beforehand. You can't let anything get into your head to distract you from what you're about to go and do. So whether that's a text message that's difficult from somebody that is unnecessary to read right now, whether it's another person who's also waiting for the same opportunity, and you start to judge whether or not they're more qualified, more capable, or better prepared than you are, those are the type of things you have to make sure that you are analyzing your environment in a way that's beneficial to you. And your environment probably doesn't matter at all, to be honest.
Right. This isn't specific to interview, but one of the things I credit to you also, we really practice that, like not like, you know, every phase of competition for pageantry, or like if you're, you know, a working professional, you might have had the worst day ever, but then you have to go walk into this life-changing interview and you have to leave that stuff outside of the door. You have to table it. Maybe you want to come back to it later. Maybe you don't even come back to it later, but just walking through every part and then like leaving it behind one by one. And specifically on finals night, I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I honestly don't know. When I was competing for Miss California, I really exercised this. It was like a 5-day competition. It was like a mini Miss USA. So it was literally like one day after the next, after the next. It was this event. Then it was this interview. Then it was this photo shoot. And I just looked at it like every phase. Like, okay, the photo shoot didn't go the way I wanted it to. That's fine. Next thing. Like, you know, kind of leave it behind. So I was so focused the entire time. But my point is on finals night, I was so focused on one aspect of the competition at a time, you know, getting announced in the top 15, then my top 15 question, and then changing into my swimsuit, and then time to do swim. So I do my swim walk and I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling great. I'm like, okay, I'm killing it. I get off stage and the director came up to me and she goes, honey, are you okay? And I'm like looking at her and I'm like, I'm great. I'm in the top 15 in Miss California USA. Like, let's go. And she's like, no, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And she like puts her hand on me. And she goes, your boob popped out. And I was like, I didn't understand what she was saying. And I was like, huh? And it was like still out of my top. She's like, your boob popped out. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't get it. And she goes, honey, your tit is out. And I was like, oh my God. And I looked down and because they put us in these like tiny sponsored swimsuits and these butterfly capes. And so when I went to raise my arm above my head to like lift up this butterfly cape, my bathing suit shifted. So while I'm out there as confident as can be, half my boob is out. And I remember looking at her and practicing what you and I talked about. And I was like, I can either let this affect me for the rest of the competition, or I can table it and I'll come back to that later. And I was like, am I disqualified? And she was like, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go put my gown on. And I went and I put my gown on and I killed it in gown. Like, I just kept going. And I was like, okay, couldn't do anything about it, you know? So I appreciate you for that.
It's those distractions. Like, if you can't control it, you know, or change it, does it really deserve your attention? No, you can't go back and undo it. So you might as well just keep moving forward.
Exactly. I feel like it's different if there's like practical advice. Like, if I got a text message from you right before I go in an interview and you're like, Kelly, reminder, channel this, remember this, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, ooh, that's the last thing I read right before interview. Okay, I'm ready. But if you were like, hey, Kelly, by the way, don't forget to download my podcast for today, I'd be like, okay, I'll check that text message later. Like, just don't let those distractions get in your way.
I would say maybe even put your phone on airplane mode. I mean, it might make sense to just to mute everyone so that you can actually mentally prepare to walk in the room.
Yeah. That's it. I honestly don't remember if I did that or not, but I think that's a good practice.
Either don't have your phone out or have it on airplane mode. It's probably good not to even have it out unless you're listening to music or something like that that calms you. But I just think it's a necessary distraction. It also can make you look very uninterested.
True.
You never know. Depending on the environment, you never really know who's actually giving input. And so even though you might be walking into a different room to meet with different people, that doesn't mean that the receptionist doesn't have the ear of the boss. That doesn't mean that there's not someone else who's paying attention to behavior. You just don't know. And so you always want to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward the moment that you walk out of your car, the moment you walk into the building. I mean, make sure that you are the person that they should want to hire all the time.
Right. I think I might have, honestly, I had like a playlist, like an interview playlist that Austin had made me. So I like was listening to music and then I had my journal with like all of our notes. So like that's what I was like reviewing and kind of relaxing and just visualizing things like that. So I think that's great practice. One of the things that you mentioned before the podcast was, it sounds like such a simplistic idea, but it's so true. Your recommendation before any interview is to do your homework. And then by doing your homework, you're really explaining and finding why you're a valuable candidate. You know, you're like through your research and all of that. Can you elaborate more on that and like why that's important?
I think you have to know what's the job description. Like, what are you applying for? And so if we talk pageantry, for example, one of the first assignments that I'll give to girls is to write out the job description of the position that they're applying for. And most of the time it's not actually written out. Now in a corporate setting, it probably would be written out. So you would kind of know the job that you're applying for. So I want you to look at that job description and make sure that A, you fit it or you can pretty much do it, but then look at, okay, what are the qualities and attributes and experiences that I have to bring to the table that I can talk about in this interview that actually shows that I'm qualified? Anybody can walk in and say, you know, I'm a hard worker. I'm a great leader. I work well with others. I'm a people person, but I don't know if it's true. I have no idea because all you're doing is listing off attributes and anybody can do that. But if then you have a story to connect to each of those things, an example to give as to why, then I can believe you because you're actually giving evidence and sharing evidence. So one of the reasons why I like the idea of going back and looking at a journal, if the journal actually is more like a performance analysis, like the ones that we sell, the performance analysis, actually you're writing out what you did well. You're writing out what you did today, what you did well. And so you can go back and look at what are all the successes and the things that I'm actually bringing to the table that are valuable. So you have to actually do the research and do the homework on who are you. You have to know the product that you're selling. And in an interview, you're selling you. And if you don't understand the product and the benefits of that product, you can't actually sell it. And so therefore, you've got to do that kind of homework. So then you can present what you're selling essentially in that interview room so that they're more likely to bite.
I love that. You need to know the benefits of the product that you are selling, which is yourself. What do you bring to the table? What value do you add? What is the benefit of them selecting you?
Right. If you don't know why you should win or get this position, then they certainly aren't going to know. And then you probably won't get it.
And then, like you said, you mentioned you could say, oh, I'm a hard worker, or I'm a team player, or, you know, insert beautiful adjective. But why is it so important to have stories? Why do you always encourage your clients to reflect back on stories and bring those into an interview?
Well, we think in pictures. So the better that you detail a picture, the more that we're going to actually connect. So if you're painting a picture, to me, it's like building a bridge between you and a judge or a hiring manager, right? So you're building a bridge instead of a wall. So your job is to share stories. Plus, I can connect with a story. I can picture it in my mind. Now, all of a sudden, I've seen you do it. So you want them to actually be able to see and picture what you're talking about. If all I say is I'm a hard worker, I can't picture anything. And use descriptive words so that I can actually connect and remember you later. And then I'm building like a common ground with you, potentially, depending on what you're talking about. There might be something that you say that I connect to because I don't know, I have a brother named Brian. So if I mentioned that, then you might be like, wow, I know someone named Brian. You know, so it's kind of like you're connecting to that person's experiences and you're qualifying that attribute and that quality that you say is true about you, you're qualifying that it actually is true about you because you have actual experience that you've shared. That's why you do it.
It makes such a difference. Even, you know, Miss America just happened over the weekend, right? And
I was there.
Heather was there in the audience, which is so incredible. I wish I was with you. That would have been so fun.
You know, that would have been fun.
Especially because my girl Maddie won. I'm so excited.
Well, my girl Ellie was first runner up. So that was cool. Yeah, she's Texas.
Oh, really? I should have known. Okay, that makes sense. She was like literally my second favorite. I was like, top two, it's going to be Maddie, it's going to be Texas. Like right away, Texas really impressed me.
Well, good. I'm glad.
But so when they were on stage, so they added for listeners, essentially they announced the top 15. Then they had them do their like fun fitness, you know, they had them come out and they gave them a topic at random that they could elaborate on at their will. So terrorism, families, education, drugs. And then they finished with gown. So the cool part about the topics was that all top 10, or was it top 10 or top 15? Top 10, right?
It was a top 10 plus a people's choice. So it was 11.
Okay. So top 11. The cool part about that is you really don't know much about the women unless you're like a pageant freak and do all the research. You don't know much about the women when they're announced. You don't know much about the women when they're doing fitness. They're just on stage and they look great, right? But then you learn about the women when they're answering those topics. This is always one of my favorite parts because in a pageant, when they step up to the mic, that's what sets them apart. It's what you find out what they stand for, what they're passionate about. So my point is every single woman, with the exception of like one or two, whatever topic it was, they were able to bring it back to a personal experience. They shared something about themselves. So like Texas, for example, her topic was terrorism. She immediately turned it into essentially a story about her father is served as a police officer and dealing with, you know, terrorism at home and in the United States. And I learned about her family and her family service by her answering that question. And then, for example, Maddie, the winner, she her topic was drugs, and she talked about drugs and then misdiagnosis and then having, you know, accessibility to drugs because her mom died of pancreatic cancer. So I remember all of these things because they told stories along with these answers. And throughout the rest of the night, my girlfriends and I were like, oh, she's the one who had the dad that was a police officer. Oh, she's the one that's the MBA candidate at blah, blah, blah. Like, because they had answered with a personal fact and a story, vice just being like, oh, I think that we should do a better job of making sure drugs are blah, blah, blah. You know, there was no connection there.
Right. And that's the whole, that's not the whole goal, but that's one of the main goals, is to make sure you're connecting through stories. It humanizes you too. It makes you connect well with people.
It really does.
I mean, think about it. It's why you do a podcast, is you're connecting with people through stories.
Through stories, I know.
That's what you do every day.
I love it. It's my favorite thing.
And then I started a podcast too.
You did start a podcast.
Yes. People can listen.
Tell us a little bit about your podcast before we get ready to wrap up and why you shifted to doing, because you were doing a podcast with your brother forever, and then now you shifted to doing a solo podcast. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I was doing podcasts. My brother and I were doing the With Winning in Mind podcast, and now he's doing that with my father, and that's perfect for them. And they have a certain demographic of people that they're trying to reach that's different from mine. And so I decided to branch out on my own because I wanted to help women specifically. I work in two primary markets. I can help anybody with the mental game or with interview skills, but I enjoy and I prefer working with women. And there's two primary markets that I tend to take up more of my time, I guess you could say, that I become more famous in, I suppose, is dog sports and pageantry. We don't have time to get into how I'm in those two, and they're so different from each other.
Very different, yes.
But they're both, you know, predominantly women. And women struggle with similar issues when it comes to the mental game. And so therefore, what I decided to do is do a podcast specifically for women called She Wins, Solutions and Stories for Women. And so I interview, recently I've been basically interviewing former clients. I interviewed you, so your interview is on there. And then we do extended interviews for my Patreon channel, for my Patreon members. And I have three levels. I have a level for women only. I have a level for dog handlers and a level for pageant participants. And I post new content every single week on there for my members so that they can continue to get more and more exclusive content for them that dives into a little bit more of the actual teaching and training. But it's a lot of fun. And then since I'm communicating with them all the time, they're able to jump in on a Q&A webinar at the dog handler or the pageant level. I do like a special Q&A webinar where they can submit questions and we answer those questions. It's really, really fun. I enjoy it. It's what I want to do, is help women to be able to, I mean, I don't want to empower women. I think women are already empowered. I just think they have to give themselves permission to unlock the power that's already there. And so that's what I'm wanting to do and trying to do with my podcast, with my Patreon, with my individual sessions. It's so much fun. And I love what I do. I've been working in the mental game, working in mental management with my father for, you know, 20 years, but I branched on my own a year ago this month. So fun.
It's incredible. I love seeing how much you continue to grow in your career and your impact. You know, you really do. I feel like anybody that you touch truly blossoms, and you have such a unique skill set that allows women to tap into that power. You said women are already empowered. Maybe they just need a little like push or a couple of tools to help unleash it. I know that for me, it's definitely made me, working with you now over the last 4 years, 5 years. Oh my gosh, 5 years, 2019. That's crazy. But working with you over the last 5 years, I've been able to continue what I learned from you and apply it to so many areas of my life, because it involved confidence or channeling intention or visualization or, you know, all of those different things, that it's not just for pageantry. It's not just for a competition. I really appreciate you. And there's so much we can talk about. And the hard part with you is that we don't want to give away all of your secret sauce. I want listeners to hear how amazing you are, but I also want them to reach out to you, because just like one individual session with you, minds would be blown. So tell everyone how they can reach you, find you, add you, all the things.
So the website's heathersumlin.com. So you can go on the site, and there's, if you're interested in individual training, you can sign up for a free 20-minute evaluation call. That's usually how it starts. If you're interested in the podcast, then it's on YouTube. It's also on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And then the Patreon is on Patreon, but it's She Wins Solutions and Stories. So you'll be able to find me either way. On Instagram, I'm just Heather Sumlin on Instagram. So you can find me there too.
Heather Sumlin.
Yeah. I mean, it's just my name. I figured, why make it complicated? You know, just Google me, you'll find me, I think. I just want to help people have a better tomorrow than they had today. That's really what I want to do. That's why I'm here. And I like helping people just move on to the next chapter, whatever that looks like. And it's a lot of fun. So whether you're in pageantry or not, we can chat.
You've done that for me, and I'm so grateful. You know, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I left my chapter of Miss California USA having been runner-up, being devastated, not accomplishing that goal. And then we immediately shifted and started a new chapter, which was, why not start a podcast? You're so misunderstood. Here we are. And then, you know, it's January 2024, and I'm now recording my fifth season. And a lot of that encouragement came from you. So you definitely have so many layers to give to others. And I'm just so thankful for you, Heather. Thank you. Thanks for everything today. This was so great.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited to listen to season 5. So that's so fun. Yay.
Season 5. And by the time this comes out, I am 97% sure that my audience will already know this, but Heather and I will be working very intensely together for the next several months because of Miss Illinois USA in May, Memorial Day weekend. So you're about to go, my best friend.
Nice.
Over the next several months. Preparation. Let's go.
I know, I'm so excited. I am so, so excited. I'm proud of you for continuing to pursue the dream. And once that door opened again, for choosing to walk through it. So excited for you. Can't wait to continue. I was going to say get started, but we've already started. So it's all good.
We've already started. We've been started. We started in 2019. The longest session ever. Prep session ever. Well, thanks, Heather. Thank you. Appreciate you so much.
You're welcome. Bye, Kelly.
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Misunderstood Podcast. I love hearing from you guys, and I want you to take a screenshot of this episode, tag at misunderstood.podcast on Instagram, and share a takeaway from today's episode. Something you loved, something you wanted more of, whatever it is, it helps me learn what you guys want to hear. Please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify. I want to give a special shout out to my friends at Hatch for producing this episode. If you're looking to launch a podcast, or if you already have one, you can get unlimited podcast editing by visiting usehatch.fm. That's usehatch.fm. Thanks so much, guys. Until next week, this is your Misunderstood, Kelly Hall. The views and opinions presented here in this episode are those of myself and do not necessarily represent the views of the DoD or its components. Appearance of or reference to any commercial products or services does not constitute DoD endorsement in those products or services. The appearance of external hyperlinks does not constitute DoD endorsement of the linked websites or of the information, products, or services therein.